This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jerry Yeager. This is News Talk 1010. Just had a great conversation with Dave Bradley, our breaking news reporter, on all the numbers he breaks down every day. It's a tremendous set of statistics he puts together, and he makes comparisons to the day before, to time periods before. There's a lot there, and as I said to him, there's always more questions, and in some cases, very difficult for reporters as hard as they work at it, and he really does, to get all of the answers. But there's a lot of information there. And again, you can get that number, those numbers every day in our breaking news alerts if you just sign up at newstalk1010.com. Go through them yourself. You may have your own set of questions, and you can ask them to your MPP or MP, whatever is appropriate. Now, what is it like to go to elected officials and try to get information? Are they happy to help? Not always. And one person who would certainly know that that's the case would be Brian Lilly of the Toronto Sun. Brian has been attempting to report on this too. And in fact, Brian, thanks for joining me. If I'm right, some of the politicians have actually got mad at you.
Absolutely. And I want to give kudos to Dave Bradley and the team at News Talk 1010 as well. I've been very critical of many media outlets for not producing context around their numbers. Yep. And for a long time now, News Talk 1010 has been doing a great job at that. It's not easy. I've been trying to do it in the pages of the Sun every day I'm writing on COVID, which is most days. And look, asking Dr. David Williams, the Chief Medical Officer of Health, or Premier Ford for to show their work, that's the phrase I keep using because everyone remembers their elementary school teacher saying, oh, you can't get full marks on this. You didn't show your work on the math question.
Yeah.
Well, they're not showing their work.
But Dave Bradley was just telling us one of his frustrations was he was working out the percentages of people tested who tested positive, because that's an important number. The caseload might go up because you have tested more people, but did the percentage change? And he was working his numbers out, and then the province put out their numbers and they were different. And he said, well, why are my numbers different than yours? Well, we didn't give you everything. Like, it's just, it's very difficult. But the problem is, Brian, that these things are all being used in order to make decisions that govern people's lives.
And the public should get to see the information that the politicians use to decide if a business opens or closes, if an entire section of the economy gets put back into a modified stage two. The mayor of Ottawa, by the way, has written a letter. We've heard about the Halton mayors and regional chair and the MPPs writing over the weekend. We heard about the folks in Durham last week, and I just got the letter today. I don't know why Jim Watson didn't send it to me, but the mayor of Ottawa, Jim Watson, wrote a letter saying, we want to see the Ottawa-specific data that you use to put us back in, because the city council doesn't have it. And up there, they said, you know what? Our numbers are good. Our medical officer says our numbers are good. We don't need a modified stage two. Because of John Tory's never-ending campaign to lock down as much as he can and be gleeful at the idea that people shouldn't trick or treat, the province has faced an unprecedented amount of pressure and lobbying from Toronto area politicians, but also from a lot of media here, and ended up putting Peel back in, Ottawa back in, when they said they didn't want it. Sounds like they're not going to do Halton and Durham today, but that doesn't mean they won't later on.
You know, a number of times I have said, and gradually there are some other people even on this radio station who've started to agree with me, that authorities can be losing the public over all of this. But it seems, maybe this is a bit of a tangent here, maybe not, it seems, Brian Lilly, that the premier may in fact be losing some of his own team.
Well,
is that fair to say or not?
I can tell you this. Well, our headline yesterday on the front page of the Sun was mutiny after those two right. MPPs, who are also parliamentary assistants. You know, Parm Gill and Jane McKenna are not obscure people that Doug Ford wouldn't recognize in an elevator. They're parliamentary assistants to his cabinet ministers. He knows them well. They signed on to this letter saying, please don't put Halton back into modified stage two. They didn't like the headline mutiny. They didn't like the coverage of it. Well, too bad. it is public pushback, and it's the first time that we've seen public pushback. They did it in a very gentle way. They didn't write a letter to the premier saying, don't do this. They wrote it to Dr. Williams. I will point out that there was another letter signed by the mayors and the regional chair and the Oakville mayor that wouldn't sign the one with the MPPs, directed right at Ford. The MPPs wouldn't sign that. So they tried to push their own government in a way that wouldn't get them in trouble. We'll see what Doug Ford's reaction to that is at 1 o'clock today, along with pushback from Durham and Ottawa. And you can't just dismiss them. I know some people said, well, the mayor of Burlington's a liberal. Yeah, well, the regional chair is a former Mike Harris PC MPP and speaker of the legislature named Gary Carr. The folks in Ottawa was a collection of liberals and conservatives that said, we don't like this. Send us the data. In the letter on the weekend from the Halton elected officials said, if people don't see the data, if they don't see why you're doing this, they will stop listening to public health messaging and ignore public health measures. I think that's true. I think it's accurate. If you can explain it to people, they will follow along. If they just see it as you saying, well, the doc said we got to do it. Well, why? Show me why, and I meant, listen, if you don't show me why, there's a good chance people will ignore.
Are we asking for too much? I mean, when I said to Dave Bradley, for instance, it's interesting that somebody in the 20 to 39 year age group is one of the deaths today. Were there underlying conditions? We don't know. We don't even know if the person was male or female, and closer to 20 or closer to 35. Are we asking for too much?
No, we're not. There has only been one report that I've been able to find on the issue of comorbidities. And if you remember, there was a lot of attention around a report out of the Centers for Disease Control in the U.S., which people may have misread. And they said, oh, see, only 6% of people are dying from COVID. 94% had three comorbidities and died from that. We've only had one study for Ontario looking at comorbidities. Did people have underlying conditions? That was last completed in May. When I asked recently, are you going to be updating that? I was told no. Now, that covers just about half of the deaths that we've had so far, and only 36% had any comorbidities. But we need to know that. If somebody between 20 and 39 is dying, well, why? The average age of people dying is above the age of life expectancy in Ontario. It's still 68.6%, I believe it is, of all deaths are over the age of 80, and most of them are 80. I think the average age is 86. Okay. That's above life expectancy. It's not an excuse to just let people die, but these factors do matter.
Well, keep doing the best you can.
I'll try. I'll keep asking questions.
All right.
Getting answers is another matter.
Ryan Lilly of the Toronto Sun.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.